This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is a wild NFL weekend again because it's a bounce-back weekend, right? You looked at the Buffalo Bills, and you're like, hey, they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What will they do against the Jets? And the Dallas Cowboys, they lose to the Denver Broncos. What will they do to the Atlanta Falcons? Well, both of those teams put on a show. Again, not great opponents in the Jets and the Atlanta Falcons, although the Falcons at 4-4 were looking to turn their ship around a bit. But you also have the return of Cam Newton in Charlotte. We're going to get to that coming up. And once again, the NFL has a tie, and players don't know that the NFL can end in a tie. But you know what? I don't really blame them. We don't get a lot of tie football games, and for a lot of people in the league, they probably don't even pay attention to when it happens. And a lot of newcomers to the league probably don't even know when it happens either. But the Detroit Lions, while they are still winless, do not have a losing streak anymore. And the Pittsburgh Steelers now have a tie on their record in a race for the division lead in the AFC North. It is kind of a mess. Ties are, you know, we always say this every time there's a tie. It always messes it up. It's either half a loss or half a win, depending on you look at it. It's like glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing. I think for the Lions, it's a half a win. If for the Steelers, I think it's a half a loss. I mean, the Lions played terrible, but the Steelers played really, really, really terrible. So I don't think either team deserved to win that game, but nevertheless, it's going to make it really interesting. We're trying to figure out how things go. We also had the Washington football team beating the Super Bowl champions in a rematch of last year's playoffs. And we had the Philadelphia Eagles beat a team that beat the Dallas Cowboys convincingly last week. So it's a wild, wild weekend in the NFL. We're going to get to all of that coming up. But I think one of the big takeaways that we're going to have coming up next, which is what happened last night. All season long, we've been wondering about the Kansas City Chiefs. Where exactly are they? What happened to the fun and gun Kansas City Chiefs that we know and love? Well, they kind of showed up last night in Las Vegas. We'll talk about that and whether everybody in the AFC should now be scared of the Kansas City offense after what it did to the Raiders, or is this something that we've seen all season, which is, hey, take it week by week because you never know what the next week will give you. That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us, and good Monday to you. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So, I said this, you know, this has been a crazy year for the NFL. I mean, crazy in context. We've seen years like this before, but you know, when you're in it and you're in the middle of it, it's easy to go, my God, this is nuts. And it has been. We've seen some serious upsets that even though you sort of rationalize it going, yeah, well, anything can happen in football, you still scratch your head as to what can happen. But we've also seen a team like Kansas City, where we sort of had this expectation of what they should look like, and they never looked like that the whole season. And then last night, they looked exactly like the Kansas City Chiefs that we kind of were wondering, hey, where are they? Why haven't we seen this team since the Super Bowl play the way they are? And so Patrick Mahomes had 5 touchdowns last night, 5, and over 400 yards of passing against the Raiders. And they routed Las Vegas, and they go on to get their 6th victory of the season. The Chiefs are 6-4, and outside of Tennessee, that ties them for the best record the second best record in the AFC, in a year where that didn't seem like that would be possible a while back, right? Like, not and you don't even have to go back that far when you looked at how good Buffalo was, Tennessee, obviously, Baltimore was. It didn't seem like a team like Kansas City that was just struggling all season to barely put points on the board we're going to be able to come up with a 6-4 record. And now finally everyone's like, uh-oh, what do we have now? The Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns and over 400 yards in a rout of the Raiders.
No, we wrote them out of the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Well, by week three, week four? Like, oh, they'll probably get in, but, you know, maybe as a 7th seed.
Well, and I've said this about in college football about Alabama, how we compare Alabama to other Alabama teams. We kind of faulted with that with Kansas City, right? Kansas City were winning games by the skin of their teeth, right? But at the end, they were still winning games. But they just didn't look like Kansas City, right? So we were comparing them to the juggernaut offensive performances that Patrick Mahomes had done before. Not mentioning like, well, you know what? They are still squeaking out some of these victories that are putting them in the hunt for this division that seems wide open. And now here they are. They have this one game in which they looked like the Chiefs last night. And then all of a sudden you look up and you go, oh, and they have 6 wins. And, uh-oh, they're one of the better teams in the AFC. Okay, look out. Because, again, I mean, it's not style points in the NFL. It is not, you know, it's not graded on a committee that's sitting in a room somewhere in Dallas, Texas. I mean, you could play hot towards the end, win the Super Bowl. That's what Tampa Bay did last year. That's what a number of teams have done in the past, right? Where they play and they're figuring things out, and then they finally figure that one thing out and they go on a run. I remember the Steelers when they won the Super Bowl against the Seahawks in Super Bowl 40 years and years ago. They had to win like their final 3 games of the season just to make the playoffs. And then they went on the road and won every one of their playoff games. They beat Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Denver, and then won the Super Bowl. So you can talk about a team's lack of you know, performance, and they, you know, the fact that their identity seems to have gotten stolen and all of those things that we were saying about the Chiefs. But if this is the Kansas City Chiefs that we get in the second half of the season, maybe they're back, right? Maybe they're back. But I'm reluctant to do that because this league has shown that nothing has been consistent, right? We don't have a team that is rolling along through. Every team has their moment where they just went, oop, brain freeze. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought. And the one team that I would have argued that was sort of avoiding that was Arizona, with their one loss being when a wide receiver went, I don't even know if I'm supposed to turn around and catch the ball. But the Carolina Panthers beat them handedly yesterday. Now, this league does that. It does it all the time. And that's why you have to be sort of cautious when I look at a situation like what I saw last night in Las Vegas, where I saw this Kansas City team look like Kansas City. But I have no idea if that translates to further Kansas City-looking teams down the line. I don't know. I just know in this one particular moment, Patrick Mahomes looked exactly like I wanted Patrick Mahomes to look. I mean, flinging that ball all over the place, 5 touchdown passes, hit Tyreek Hill twice and a bunch of other receivers. I mean, he was passing it all over the place. It was great. He threw 50 times. I think he threw 35 completions on the night. So do I put Kansas City in the we are back category? Not quite yet, but I will say that, you know, a team like Dallas that took a brain freeze against Denver looked really good against Atlanta, and Buffalo had no problems against 4 interception Mike White. Boy, that star has fallen out of the sky, didn't it? Against the New York Jets. So again, the league has always tried to sell you on this. I mean, this goes back to Pete Rozelle days, where they sell you the any given Sunday thing. But more important, the larger picture of any given Sunday is not that the worst team can meet the best team. It's that in the end, there are very, very few consistently excellent teams. That this league, you know, it's too tricky week in and week out. It's too tough week in and week out. And you might have a team that looks really good, but doesn't look good in week 9, but then gets right back on track in week 10 and cruises right through. And there'll be a couple of, you know, back in the 16 game schedule, a couple of 14-2 teams, maybe even a 15-1 team. But most of the time, 13-3 is considered excellent. 12-4 is likely to win your division, and 11-5 will get you into the playoffs. You know, you don't need to go 16-0 because very, very few teams have ever done it. Oh, actually one, and one other went 14-0. But the reality of it is that every single team is going to have moments where they don't look exactly like they are designed to look. But how do they respond after that? For Dallas, it was one game. It was this one game in which they looked like a complete disaster against the Denver Broncos. Remember that game? They trailed 30-0 in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were heading to shutoutsville before they put a couple of touchdowns on the board. But then against Atlanta, they shut Atlanta out after they get a field goal in the first quarter, and Dak Prescott has two touchdowns, and he runs for another. They block a punt for a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb had two touchdown catches. Ezekiel Elliott had two touchdown runs, and they roll past the Atlanta Falcons. Josh Allen did the exact same thing. He throws two touchdowns, but they had a bunch of rushing scores on the day against the Jets and took advantage of the fact that the Jets wanted to throw every interception in the book. So those are the kind of things that you want to see a team do is, okay, look, you can have one or two games where you don't look right, but how do you respond to that? In the case of Kansas City, and I'm exaggerating a little bit here, up until last night, we had nine games in which Kansas City never felt like Kansas City up until last night. And don't get me wrong, we saw some good moments from Patrick Mahomes this season, but every single game, we were wondering, where are they? What's happening? Why is this occurring? And we were actually doing it at times for a team that was hovering around 500 or had a winning record. But they're like, before last night, their last three games, they didn't score over 20 points. That's not like the Kansas City of old, right? They lost a game. They lost a game to Tennessee in which they managed only 3 points. 3 points in what was expected to be sort of this AFC juggernaut showdown that was completely one-sided from the start, right? Even in the loss to Buffalo, which was where they got moving a little bit, they only managed 20 points. And so every time Kansas City would play, you would wonder, well, what exactly are, who are they? And how vulnerable are they? And how wide open is it? But last night sort of reminded you, hey, look, be careful, because if they do figure this out, this is what they could look like. I mean, that wasn't a winless Las Vegas team that they played last night. That was a Las Vegas team that was playing at home and was pretty good. I mean, albeit they're going through a lot of off-the-field issues, but they're pretty good. And Patrick Mahomes with 5 touchdown passes and kind of slinging it the way he did, sort of that confidence moxie that he has. If I'm Tennessee, it's a wake-up call to me, because I don't think I'm going to get 27-3 the next time I play them. Right. I don't think if I play them in the postseason, I don't think I'm getting 27-3. I think I'm going to get a better Kansas City team. And if I'm Buffalo, if I'm playing, I don't think I'm getting 38-20. So you now can look at this team differently as they head into their matchup with the Cowboys. Right. Which is, all right, go ahead, Kansas City. Now show us who you are, because that Dallas team is good and they can score. And if you both play well, how will it look? If one of you play terrible, how does it look? And if Kansas City goes back to an anemic offense that doesn't feel like it's rolling along pretty good, what will we say about them? Well, this is this just a blip, or is this Kansas City being back? And in a world of hot takes, I got to be honest with you, I'm not really sure, because it's been too wild of a season and too inconsistent for me to think that Kansas City has turned the corner. They just might have caught the Raiders at the wrong time. You know, the Raiders may have just come into that game, much like other teams, not really as well prepared as they should have been, and Kansas City exploited it. And Dallas might be better prepared for this. I don't know. But if they are on track, if they are back, now the AFC is add another element to this wild AFC picture where we're not really sure. I mean, outside of Tennessee, who's won 6 in a row, we're not really sure how this conference is going to play out. All right, more from yesterday, including the tie by the Steelers and the Lions. We'll get into some other games and some other outcomes, including the Jets. And what exactly now do we think about Mike White after throwing 4 interceptions against Buffalo? A lot on the table as we continue along again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today, or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Good Monday to you. Thanks for joining us, Sports Map Radio. Don't look now, but the Buccaneers have lost 2 games in 3 weeks. They lost to the Saints, had a bye week, and then they lost to the Washington football team.
Yep, time to panic.
By the way, if you didn't get to watch that game for whatever reason, because it wasn't in your market, but you probably know about this, the Buccaneers scored a touchdown that cut the Washington lead to 4 points. Tom Brady threw 2 interceptions in the first quarter of the game, but they scored a touchdown. There was 11 minutes to go on the clock, and Tampa Bay had cut the lead to 4. Now, I'm in Florida, I thought, I'm watching this game going, all right, well, the Buccaneers are probably going to fix things up right. It's 23-19. Washington had the ball, and I was doing some other things. I'll be honest. I was doing other things. I was kind of waiting for, you know. Washington held the ball for 10 and a half minutes before scoring the icing touchdown of the game. They went 80 yards in 19 plays in over 10 minutes. I mean, literally, I got up and got something to drink, talked to my father a bit, got on the computer, and every time I looked at the screen, Washington had the ball and was keeping the ball. This might be one of the greatest touchdown drives in the history of football. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that, you know. It is pretty impressive. It is really impressive.
And it served a purpose because the way to beat Tampa is to keep Brady off the field.
Absolutely. I mean, think about what it accomplished, right? If you're Washington, you just gave up a touchdown and there's 11 minutes on the clock. Now, by conventional wisdom, you would think, okay, if we do sort of the normal way an average 11 minutes should end, we should have the ball for a little bit. They should have the ball. We might get the ball back, and they might get the ball back.
Right.
We might change possessions in the final 11 minutes four times, but we each might have 2 shots at offensive possessions.
Hey, possibly three. You get 2 quick 3 and outs.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
So that gives them, at minimum, in a normal football game, at minimum, Tom Brady has 2 chances to get the team back into this game. So we have to do something with whatever possessions we're going to get. Do you think they thought 80 yards, 10 minutes, 19 plays against that defense?
It's one of those things too. I bet you if you're the Buccaneers offense, you know, you get off the field, just scored a touchdown, you know, you're reviewing, all your coaches are talking to, you're reviewing the film, like the quick snapshot of, you know, lineups and things like that. And you're probably sitting there in your mind frame going, we'll be back on the field, you know, and that clock, that internal clock passes, and you probably didn't, you know, they probably didn't realize it at first, and all of a sudden they look up like, hey, why are we still sitting on the bench?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And then and then taking a look at the game, like finally watching the game, like, why are they still on the field?
So here came the stat geeks, right, who come out and they know, they got this one in the books, right? So the Washington football team took 10 minutes and 26 seconds off the clock. It is the longest drive of the season. But according to Pro Football Reference, there's only one other drive since 2001 that started in the fourth quarter and lasted longer, which ended in a touchdown. So what you saw with Washington, you know, when I was exaggerating that it's the greatest touchdown drive in the history. Yeah, it's not. But it's pretty historic. I mean, it's pretty historic that you don't see this very often where a team who sort of needs this, given the circumstances, is able to produce this 19-play, 80-yard drive in 10 minutes. The clock never stopped. Taylor Heinicke went 6 for 6 on the drive. He just kept moving the chains, moving the team down the field, eating up clock.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing. But here's the other thing. It ended in a touchdown, and Brady got the ball with 20-something seconds remaining, and that was it. That was it, and the Buccaneers lost. That's amazing. It really was. Very, very impressive by the Washington football team. Because, again, it's something you never quite see. But watch out, because the Buccaneers have now lost 2 in a row, which means they'll win the rest of their games and go on to win another Super Bowl.
There it is.
All right. Do I have enough time to take a moment on this show to complain about my team tying the Detroit Lions? Or should I take a moment in this show to praise the Lions and my new best friend, Dan Campbell, for tying the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well,
which should I do?
You should do both.
All right, here's the deal. First of all, Ben Roethlisberger was out for COVID, which, by the way, did you see how much the media praised Ben Roethlisberger
for his selfless act of going to the team and immediately reporting himself where he's got the symptoms for COVID. Where he said, I got this. I need to be tested. I think I have this. And they test and they go, oh, you got COVID, you're out. He didn't hide it from the team. He didn't sneak onto the field to try to play. They found out on Saturday that he was out. He wasn't going to play. And Mason Rudolph came in. Well, okay. Now, Mason Rudolph has played before. Okay, Mason Rudolph has plenty of starts under his belt. Now, Steeler media was acting as if Mason Rudolph got this call in the middle of the night while he was at his apartment in Westchester County, New York, and he had to fly overnight to guide the Steelers to he's the backup quarterback.
I know. It made it sound like, you know, he had to go to the honey, to the spouse, yeah, and go, you know, sorry to do this, but company just called. I got a late business trip. Got to fill in for Big Ben.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. They are like, well, the Steelers didn't have time to change the game. What are you talking about? He's the backup quarterback. Like, you should have a game plan ready every minute of every second he's on the sideline holding the clipboard, because that's how soon he could be in every single game the Steelers are playing in.
I thought one of those game plans was in a glass case that said break in case of emergency.
Right. He's supposed to be ready to go all the time. And they acted like, well, what is he supposed to do? What do you mean, what is he supposed to do? Go out and play football. But what baffled people were the Lions had the worst run defense in the NFL, and the Steelers elected to run the ball 31 times to throwing the ball 50 times with a backup quarterback who can't go downfield. This was a recipe for screw-up. Jared Goff played awful. Awful. This was gift-wrapped for the Steelers. Get your sixth victory and call it an A. Go ahead. Get your sixth win. You'll be 6-3. You'll be on top of the division. And you'll have the second most wins of anybody in the AFC right here for you. But the Lions are not going to play out of their shoes. This looked like a Lions game, except for the two runs that they broke for big touchdowns where the Steelers forgot to tackle. But here's the thing. What is baffling about this and continues to baffle me is how players don't know NFL games can end in ties. This wasn't one guy. Remember when Donovan McNabb said this years ago? Remember, and everybody was like, Donovan McNabb, golly, that guy.
How do you not know?
How do you not know? Man, what an idiot. How do you not know? It seems like that's happening all the time now. Like, the whole Detroit Lions didn't know a game could end in a tie. Najee Harris said after the game he didn't know. He thought there was a second overtime. The Lions forced a fumble with a couple of seconds remaining in the OT. So they missed a field goal, and then the Lions were driving, and the Steelers were driving, and Freiermuth fumbled the ball. They're tight end. He fumbled the ball, and the Lions pounced on it, and the Lions were celebrating, not because this game was going to end in a tie. They were celebrating because they thought they had sealed the first overtime, and there would be another one. So they thought they got the ball back to start the second overtime of the game. And they didn't. And they were baffled. There's a whole group of players that do not understand this. And I don't know why they don't. Don't they tell them? Don't coaches tell them sort of a level of urgency in the 10 minutes? Like, wouldn't you as a coach tell your players, guys, here's the deal. That 10 minutes is all we've got. So if we're going to score, this game will end in a tie. And while it doesn't help us or hurt us, we want to get the win. So look at the clock and realize that's the clock. That's it. The game's over after 10 minutes. So whatever we got to do, that clock is that clock. Apparently nobody says this to young players. Now, look, if you're a 15-year veteran in the league, you probably knew the game ended in a tie.
But at least you're better.
Yeah, but if you're a rookie, or you're a two-year pro that's never been in one, you probably don't know. I mean, how many young, like, a lot of these guys were college stars. How many college stars are sitting around watching NFL football on Sundays while they're in college?
Yeah.
Probably zero. The coach probably wants you at workouts a day after you beat Mercer by 24 points or Ole Miss or Alabama or wherever you beat.
And on top of that, all you know is college overtime.
Right, exactly. So that's all you know, that it never ends. It'll be played till Monday if they have to. But nobody knew it ended in a tie.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit me up at Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Back to the Steelers-Lions tie. And are we okay with ties in the NFL? I mean, every time we have one, there's always a debate. Do we want them to play double overtime, triple overtime? Are we okay with them going, nah, 10 minutes, that's it? Remember when they used to be 15? I think the reason why people have problems with ties is they just don't like the math. It's just odd. It's like, oh, God, it's at a half win, it's a half loss. How do I figure this out? It just makes it a little bit more complicated. But remember, and I'm surprised there aren't more of these, to be honest with you. Remember, the NFL did two major things to the overtime that sort of almost sets the stage for more ties. They shortened it from 15 minutes to 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then they created that, you know, look, if you kick a field goal, then the other team has possession. If you go down the field and you don't score, they have a chance to win it. If you score a touchdown, the game is over. I mean, remember it used to be coin flip, drive down the field, kick a field goal, win it, or done. The other team, you know, done. So
it was almost like overtime was a minor inconvenience then again.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, it was weird before all of that when you'd had a 15-minute sudden death overtime. It was weird when you'd have a tie because you're like, how did these two teams, not one team could kick a field goal
right.
in 15 minutes to win this thing? And it's sort of that way too because remember, if I get the ball first and you stop me, then it's sudden death at that point, right? If you get the possession off of my opening possession of overtime without me scoring, now it becomes sudden death. And we still have ties. And, you know, but 10 minutes is pretty short, especially if you're in a game like the Steelers. Yeah, where it's, you know, yeah, where it's sloppy. The day was crappy, you know, and the clock's going to run. So, nevertheless, I'm okay with it. I hate it, but I'm not, I don't know. I don't think I want to see a triple overtime NFL game on week 10.
No, not at all. You know? But I will say this, though. I mean, the one positive that you can take away from all this, no 0-17.
That's right. Good for the Lions. Yeah, that's right. Good for the Lions.
They won't. You know, they can't make history.
I think there was one of the writers at The Ringer put it best. He's like, the Lions lose games that where their team is absolutely trying not to. Right? Like the writer pointed out, he said, you have these games where teams where they just stink. They're 0-9, 0-10, and you kind of go, are they tanking? Like, what are they doing? They're terrible. But with the Lions, it's so different because the Lions actually are trying desperately to win games for their coach. They love this guy. They love Dan Campbell. They're actively trying to go out there and win, and they're losing games on record-setting field goals. They're converting onside kicks, fake punts. They're doing all of these things. By the way, it's Roger Sherman. I always want to give credit to writers that I'm, you know, sort of giving credit to. Roger Sherman at The Ringer. But he said this is not the case with the Lions. The Lions, it's almost sad when they lose because they're trying so hard, and now they got a tie, and they get a tie for their credit. And they should have gotten a win. I mean, they didn't play all that great, but the Steelers played really, really bad. All right, let's get to the big story of the weekend on Sunday. And that was the return of Cam Newton to the Carolina Panthers. They really beat Arizona. They beat Arizona in Arizona, and they did so handedly. Now, Cam Newton was responsible for two goal line touchdowns in this game. Coming in, and he threw for a touchdown, and he ran for another one. When he ran for the touchdown, he screamed, "I'm back," into the camera. That was kind of fun to see. But P.J. Walker was the starting quarterback for the Panthers. Cam kind of came in goal line situations. But here was the big takeaway. First of all, again, he was responsible for two early touchdowns. But the second thing was he is a ocean of enthusiasm. I mean, he is a wave of support. Christian McCaffrey said he was so glad he's back on the team. He was infectious. His optimism and his energy on the sideline in this 34-10 win against Arizona. right? Now, again, Arizona, no Kyler Murray. Let's repeat this. No Kyler Murray. AJ Green was back, but no DeAndre Hopkins, right? So this is not the Arizona team that we love, right? That team is a different team. This team is the Colt McCoy, I still can't believe you beat San Francisco last week team. So there is a level of, is excuse the wrong word, or understanding is probably better? I don't like excuse in sports because I think it's weak. I want to use another word that's like excuse, but not excuse, and I think understanding. So this Arizona team is definitely not, you know, they had a Chris Streveler was also their quarterback yesterday. Blah, I don't even know who he is. But I do know who Cam Newton is, and Cam Newton is back on the Carolina Panthers. Now, I don't know what this means going forward. If P.J. Walker, former XFL star P.J. Walker, is going to be the starting quarterback going forward now that Sam Darnold is on IR, or it is eventually Newton as he learns this offense more and more. Because remember, he just got there like 10 seconds ago.
Yeah. I was surprised he even suited up. Don't they normally wait?
Me too. I didn't think he was going to play. But I think in the case of him, I think Matt Rhule could be like, we're just going to run this at the goal line with you. You think you can handle that? And he's like, yeah, I can handle that. But as far as like first and 10 at the 20, he can't do that yet. Like he's not capable of doing that yet.
Right. And but I guess, his passing touchdown looked identical to the run.
Yeah.
It was just rolling out. It was like almost the same play call, but it's like, if the run's not there, just throw it to that guy.
Exactly. So Cam was, so I don't know how to put this, but is he, I'm trying to find an analogy here that's the right way to describe Cam Newton's arrival on the Carolina Panthers. Is this like letting your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend move in with you? Is you know what I mean? Like, the Panthers are like, we're okay. We got Sam Darnold. Hey, we got to let you go. We don't want to let you go. You've been the face of the franchise. You're the best player we've ever had, and we've had a lot of good players. You're a former MVP. You took us to a Super Bowl. God bless you, but snip. And then he leaves. He plays for the Patriots, and they go, we got Sam Darnold. We're good. And then he comes back, and he's like, he's buddy buddies with everybody again. Like the Panthers now have to accept the fact that Cam Newton is like, he's going to take over now. Like, he's going to take over this team, right? Cam Newton's not going to be just a goal line quarterback
not
and
for the
sit
Panthers.
On the sidelines.
Who is that? Who did he get benched for again? I can't remember.
When?
Well, I mean, you know, they chose the quarterback that they chose.
Oh, Teddy Bridgewater.
Was it Teddy Bridgewater?
They brought in Teddy Bridgewater, yeah. They cut him and they brought in Teddy Bridgewater.
That's right.
Right? So they cut him last year. He signed with the Patriots. Teddy Bridgewater was their quarterback. And then they got Sam Darnold. But they like, he is seeing the door open now. Don't you think? He's like, my team.
I get the feeling that, you know, Sam's hurt and hasn't really been playing that well. That's Cam's going in. They're like, you guys brought me in to win games. And that's right. What I'm going to do.
Like, I remember years ago, this was probably 10, 11 years ago. I remember when Shaq was like bouncing around the league later in his life.
Yeah.
Remember he was like,
Cavalier.
He was on the Cavaliers. Yes. Yeah, Celtics. He was with the Cavaliers. And I remember like he had a press conference, and I remember him saying in a press conference, like, yeah, this is LeBron's team. No, you know, I understand it's LeBron. And I didn't think anybody in the locker room, like the press conference, thought it wasn't LeBron's team. Right. Like, it was before the decision. And I remember going, Shaq, like, you have this idea that we think you and LeBron are going to be competing egos when no one thinks that. Like, no one thinks that this is not LeBron's team. And that's the way I got to think Cam Newton sort of thinks about it. Like, yeah, no, this is my team, isn't it? Like, I'm back on my team. There's no way I can't imagine a scenario where Cam Newton is just like, no. When Sam Darnold comes back, it's his job. No, he's going to be like, here's my opportunity to regain what I had taken away from me. I'm going to be once again the king of this city. And those two touchdowns sort of made me go, oh boy, Cam's back, baby. This is great. This is great. You know, it's like you could see Matt Rhule going, you know, Cam, we're just going to let you in on a little. PJ is our starter until Sam comes back. We love you here, and there's going to be a role for you. And Cam's just nodding his head going, sure thing. I got you. Don't worry about it. Knowing that he's going to light it up in practice to a point where he's going to be like, you know, as soon as this guy starts screwing up, you know the city is going to be screaming for me, right? Like the moment this guy has a two-interception day, you know they're going to be screaming for me. I led this team to a Super Bowl. I'm an MVP. I own this town. Like, for the Panthers, this is a good situation, but it's also a very precarious situation, too. You got to walk a little fine line with Cam Newton on this. I'm excited to watch the soap opera come together. Because he didn't leave on his terms. He left on Dave Tepper's terms and the idea of analytics, right? All of the yep. different analytics that Dave Tepper, the owner, was going to put together for this Carolina team. That's why Ron Rivera is not on the sidelines anymore. We're going with an organizational philosophy that says this quarterback at this amount of money, at this production, isn't worth it, isn't valuable. So there you go.
Now, are we to believe that he will start next Sunday?
I got to think. Like, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, that's what the conventional thought is.
Like, what do you do? If you're Matt Rhule, do you start this guy? If he's getting the plays early on this week, do you say that he starts, or do you go, no? Because PJ Walker wasn't that amazing.
Yeah, but he wasn't terrible either.
Right?
But then again, I mean, you know, the storyline with Cam Newton starting against Ron Rivera, I mean, I know the NFL doesn't like to play into that, but sometimes they do.
Yeah, they do. I think so, too.
And so it just seems bizarre to me that you bring in a guy who's literally been sitting at home all season long. You know, first of all, like we said early on, surprised that he even made it into the game, that he was even dressed for the game.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I mean, the thought process the entire time was like, oh, yeah, he's going to start next Sunday. What?
I'm
not going to be surprised if he does.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does. That's the thing. Look, again, if Cam Newton was on any other team and he did exactly what he did yesterday, right? If he played for, I don't know, Denver or something, and he scored two touchdowns like that, you would say, well, okay, he's a nice addition. But because this was once his territory, he's going to reclaim his territory.
Yeah.
Like he's
and it's
he's
impossible
Superman for crying out loud, right?
It's impossible to pull off like a Jerome Bettis situation where Jerome Bettis in his later years with the Steelers, he only came in on goal line.
Right, yeah.
You can't do that with a quarterback, right?
No,
or can
no, no.
you?
Well, you can, but they'll figure you out, I think, right? Like eventually.
I mean, you kind of saw that yesterday. It was like, oh, you know, well, it's in within 5 yards. Bring out Cam.
I certainly, as a starting quarterback, would not want that
personally.
Like, I guess if it helps us win, but as a quarterback, I'd be like, wait, I get to the goal line and I got to get out of the game? I get you down here and I can't. We can't finish the deal.
Yeah, if a quarterback says, you know, I guess we'll win, that's a devil speak that they teach you.
Yeah, exactly.
In the college class.
Where every quarterback should say, wait a minute, hold on, I'm the best option at the goal line.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm starting? Like, to throw 45-yard touchdown passes? Like, no, I'm responsible for this offense. You're not going to hand it off to somebody else. But, yeah, that was, well, what a great triumphant return for Cam Newton. That was great.
I mean, it was fun.
But, again, Arizona. I hope everybody gets healthy soon so we can get back to the Cardinals of old.
Yeah. I mean, even though it's an Arizona loss, you didn't really look at it and go, the Cardinals didn't lose.
Not at all. It just makes it more interesting. You know, just in terms of wins and losses, that's all it is, right? Just in terms of how many wins do you have? How many losses do you have? How much is the wins and losses compared to others in the conference? But that is clearly not the same Arizona team that is one of our top teams in the NFL, if not the top team in the NFL. When everybody gets healthy, then we'll get back to the real Arizona. All right, it's Wake Up Call again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports.
SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Coming up next hour, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and more from the NFL. Also, the collegiate game as well. By the way, we're heading into rivalry week soon. We got another week of sort of wrap up your either conference schedule or wrap up the second to last game of the conference schedule, because maybe your rivalry game isn't within conference, like Alabama-Auburn, Oklahoma-Oklahoma State. But the closeout of the regular season is coming soon. So I watched a bit of the Georgia-Tennessee game over the weekend. I'm in Florida. My father had surgery, and watched a little bit of that on Saturday night. And Georgia, I don't know what to say about them that hasn't already been said about them, but my God, they are so good defensively. They are just fantastic. Tennessee's offense is decent against anybody else. Decent. But God, they just could not keep up with what Georgia was doing defensively. They could not figure it out. That's a Josh Heupel, we run plays every 1.4 seconds. We're fast. You got to be on your toes. And Georgia was more than on their toes. And the Bulldogs close out the regular season. They've got like a game against, I think, Charleston Southern, and they got a game against Georgia Tech. And then it's off to the SEC title game where they're likely playing Alabama. But still, my God, it was, I've seen a few Georgia games this year, like in parts, but I saw most of the Georgia-Tennessee game, and ooh, man, it is a historic defense. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next hour, and we'll continue looking at the NFL and the rise of Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. Should the AFC be concerned about what's going on in New England? Is that team picked up its sixth win as we continue?